Now, you know, I didn't really care for Paul. Paul, I guess I only read the first part of Paul's life. And Paul attacked all the Jews that were Christians. But then later on, I understand what Paul was all about. And I know that Paul must have been an athlete. The Greeks loved to have time. We call it Olympics of today. But at that time, they raced each other. And if you won, you got a laurel. And so even women raced. The women did race. They were in a separate category, obviously. But so racing has always been part of life. And in the Christian way, his letter to the Hebrews, who were the Jews in Rome, says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.
You may be seated. Well, good morning once again. And, you know, it is good to be back with my church family. You know, it was a joy to be gone and be able to worship with all people from all over the world. But there is just something about being with your church family and worshiping together that you just don't experience anywhere else. And we're now on week four of our current sermon series, The Not-So-Secret Sauce. And here's the thing. How to live this Christian life that we live out is not a secret. How to be victorious, how to walk in the Spirit, it's all laid out in Scriptures. And sometimes we just kind of miss it a little bit. We get a little bit stuck. But we find a recipe that's just a really great one that kind of puts it all together in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 and 7. And so far we've learned about adding goodness to our faith, where God has given us good works that he has for us before we were even born for us to do to bless the world with. And then we add to that goodness, we add knowledge. And we just understand that the reverence, holy reverence for God is the beginning of having wisdom and knowledge in our life. And then last week we talked about adding self-control to this list. Because self-control really is key to the way of Jesus. And then the next ingredient that Peter puts here is this idea of perseverance. So as I was trying to think of a story of perseverance in my life, I'm sure there's much better ones, but the one that's most recent in my life, it had to do with my cabin up north, Cheryl and I's cabin. And Cheryl and I, we have a friend who said that he had a day that he could help, and so I needed to put this flooring down, this laminate flooring down with all the planks, and I'm not a carpenter, and he has a little bit more skill, and so he had one day, though, that he could help. And so he came up north with me, and we got up early, and we had 800 square feet to put down, and we got to going to it. We were going to try to do it all in one day. And we were going, and we were going, and around noontime, my body began complaining about what I was doing to it, getting down on the floor, getting back, getting down, cutting things, getting down on the floor, getting back up. And it just didn't like it. And somewhere around 4 o'clock, it began begging me to stop, please. And so I had a choice to make. You know, either I could give up and I'll just finish it some other time, or I could keep going. And I was determined. I'm going to get this job done. I have help today. And so I just kept saying, just a couple more, just a couple more, just a couple more. And sometime around 7 o'clock, we finished that job up. And it took perseverance to get that little project that was painful to my body down. Now, it took me about 2 weeks to recover from that one day, but it took perseverance to get through. And simply put, perseverance is the act of doing something despite the difficulties or obstacles that is in the way of achieving success. And if you've ever played sports or if you've ever learned to play a musical instrument, there's many different circumstances where you, I'm sure, have experience where you needed to have perseverance to meet the challenge that was posed to you. The Christian faith, perseverance is a part of it. It really is not for the faint of heart. Life can be difficult, and following Jesus can be costly. The Christian faith is something that sometimes requires for us to have some perseverance. It's not meant to be a sprint. It is definitely a marathon, a lifelong running in the same direction, being a follower of Jesus Christ. And so it's not this passing emotional feeling. Sometimes we get the idea. We have this great service. We have this altar call. We have this concert. We have this retreat, and we respond in emotions to the call that's responded. But it's not just that emotional moment. It's this decision to keep walking it out, to keep living in it. It's just like being in the middle of a difficult, painful project and wanting to quit. Many of us, we've found ourselves just in the middle of life and tempted to give up on our faith as well. And it's no wonder why Peter placed this ingredient in this recipe of the full life where he did. And the reason it comes after self-control is because without the Holy Spirit's aid in controlling our thoughts and our actions, then we have no hope of persevering when things in life get hard. So in order to finish well in this life that God has given to us, it's going to take perseverance. Now, there's just too much at stake in terms of the full life God wants for us to quit. You know, our Christian witness, it's at stake. God's dreams for our lives are at stake. Even eternity for each of us is at stake. Perseverance is such an important part of what it means to follow Jesus that the author of the book of Hebrews writes this incredible passage that Steve read for us in Hebrews chapter 12. I want us to read it just one more time just so we can get it in our ears and in our hearts. It says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses. So if you go back to chapter 11, he's talking about all these heroes of the faith and how they had faith and how they kept going. And he says, all these people are a part of this huge witnesses crowd. And let us then strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. And we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion, who initiated and perfects our faith. And because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross. He discarding its shame, disregarding it. Now he's seated at the place of honor beside God's throne. So we're given several reasons in this scripture passage of why we're to persevere. And the first one is because we're surrounded by what the author calls this cloud of witnesses. There are multitudes of saints who have gone on before us and have finished the race of life. They remain faithful and they're watching us and live our lives and they are cheering us on. I mean, just in your imagination, can you picture some of the heroes of the faith, men and women like Moses and David or Mary, saying, you can do it. Remain faithful. One more step. You've got it. You can do it. Maybe in that crowd cheering for you is a loved one, like a grandparent or a parent or some other family member, and they're yelling your name, believing in your perseverance. This cheering crowd is so often it's the incentive and it's the motivation that we need to just keep going. One more day, step by step, one more foot going in that direction, not throwing in the towel. So one reason that we can persevere in our faith is because we are truly not alone in our faith journey. That's interesting, the children's message, because I actually had that in my message, and she didn't have my notes, so we're going to revisit this Olympic. And it's awesome, because she had more details than I did. But it's just a powerful example of perseverance. And so rather than setting up the video, we already have, let's just go ahead and watch what happened with this race. Pulled a hamstring, but I've never ripped one. Could you imagine the pain? And you notice all those who tried to get him to quit. You don't have to do this. The race is over. You don't have to do this. And yet, kept going. He'd come with a goal. He's going to finish that race. What a great picture of the Christian walk and perseverance. I mean, have you ever felt that way where things were just getting really challenging and life was getting really stressful? As if the pain of disappointment and the regret or the shame or guilt or hurt was just too much. You're just tempted to quit the race. Stop living for God. Peter would remind us that perseverance is a necessary ingredient to experience this full life that God has for us. The author of Hebrews would encourage us by saying that there are others that are behind us and they're cheering us on and they're here to help us cross that finish line. One of the fundamental truths given to us in the Gospels is that Jesus promised never to leave us and never to forsake us. He's right there with us. He's in our corner. So when you feel like giving up, know that there's this great crowd of witnesses who believe that you have what it takes to keep going. One of the main reasons Christians find themselves quitting on their faith is they let themselves get caught up and tangled up and hindered by sin in their lives. Again, this is why a self-control is such a crucial part to the success of a Christian life. And it's no secret that sin will disqualify us from the race we're running in life, so we have to choose wisely all the way until the end. So not only can we persevere in our faith because we know we're not alone in this faith journey, but also we need to realize that repentance leads to perseverance. A continual process of repentance over the years leads to perseverance. Sin is any way of living that's contrary to the way of God. And when we sin, we're hurting our relationship with God, but we also are hurting our relationship with others. And sin is one of the easiest ways to hold us back and to wear us out in the pursuit of living for Christ. And we have to remain sensitive in this race that we're in to the entangling thoughts and sinful choices that we are all prone to. Because we all have a different makeup. We're all made completely different. We all have our own little bent where we struggle with a particular sin, and we need to know what that is and just be conscious of it, that we can keep it from infecting our lives. So sin in the Greek means a missing the mark. It's like there's this goal and you're trying to get that arrow into that bullseye and you miss it. It's traveling in the wrong direction. While one path leads to life and peace, the other path leads to destruction and sorrow. It's like carrying a backpack where you have all these choices you've made that were not choices that God had for you. And each one gets added to that backpack. And it just gets heavier and heavier as you're traveling this life and you've got this backpack on. Of things you know that you shouldn't be there. You know they're going against God's word, but maybe you don't have to deal with it. We can just ignore it, and it gets heavier. It gets heavier, and it just gets really heavy. All these things that are in our life, we're traveling the way of sin. We're missing out on the full life that we could be experiencing, and we're missing out on the freedoms that is meant for us in Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit. We're missing out on so much because we got this backpack of sin. And what we need to do is we need to repent. You know, repent is not sorrow or shame. It's not an emotion. Repenting is not an emotion we experience. It might help us get to there. But repentance is a turning. It's a changing. It's going in a different direction. It's saying, God, I'm sorry about this. I feel terrible. It's my life. But it's also doing what takes to get rid of that from our life. It's going a different direction. And so you take this backpack off and you go to the cross and you begin confessing it. All these things that are in our life, and there's so many different things. These are just some examples, but I don't know, maybe it's some gossip that we need to confess, sharing things about other people that we don't know. Maybe it's some reading that's in our mind that doesn't need to be there. You know? Maybe it's what we are watching on TV, again, what we're letting our eyes reflect on that we just need to confess. Maybe it's what we're looking at on the internet that we know that should not be in a believer's life, and it's just draining us of our energy. Maybe it's a habit that we developed, gambling. Maybe it's taking things that are controlling our bodies, a drug that is controlling our thoughts, or alcohol and excess where it's controlling our actions. Maybe it's the music we allow ourselves to listen to that are not honoring God. They're weakening us. Maybe it's even eating things that we know we shouldn't be eating. Too much of it. Gluttony causing us to not have the life that we could have. Whatever it is, we're all different. But we repent of it. We get it out of that backpack. We get it and we release it from our lives. That's repentance. It's a powerful thing that helps us as we walk this out. When we find ourselves freed from that sin, so we're then free to run this race laid out before us. Now, this is not a one-time and it's done action. It's not like we come up here and we lay it down and then we're free for the rest of our life. This is a daily going through the checklist. How did they go? No, I shouldn't have said that. I let my emotions get the best of myself. Forgive me. You know, I got caught, and I don't know what came over me, but I said something that wasn't true. I wanted to get out of the situation. God, forgive me. And then you got to make restitution. There's so many different things, but it's a daily coming for God, having short accounts with God, where we allow repentance to free us from all that junk the world tries to put into our system. It needs to be each day. And what is the one thing then in your life that if you was to cast that off, that little issue, that thing you're ignoring, that attitude that just has been holding on to you, that action that you know is not what's best, what is that one thing that if you cast it off, you'd be able to have freedom to love God and love people so much better? What if we repented of those? That empowers us to have perseverance. And so here's the tricky thing about sin, okay? When you give into sin for the first time, it feels terrible. You do something you know you shouldn't have been doing, and you feel that blackness come into your heart, and you feel the guilt and shame. But if you don't repent about all that immediately, if you don't take care of it, if you just kind of let it sit there, you give into it again. And you don't feel quite so bad. And you give it into again. And eventually, sin no longer feels like sin anymore. That's the danger of sin. And so what many times happens is we depend upon our emotions to tell us if we're right with God, instead of allowing God's word to reflect on our life, to tell us if we're right with him. And so it's one of the critical reasons why you've got to keep short accounts. You feel that prick of the Holy Spirit, okay, yep, I shouldn't have said that, I need to go back and apologize. You feel that nudge, okay, this is something I need to do, and so you respond to it. And when we don't, we got to take care of that right away so we can keep our hearts soft before God. Here's another thing that's really tricky about sin, is that sometimes God asks you to do something or not to do something that's not really wrong at all. It's just not what's best for you. Sometimes God asks you to give up something because he has something else to replace it with. Or sometimes God asks you to do something and we just struggle with that. And we resist it. And here's the thing. When you hear God's voice and you understand the Holy Spirit is nudging you in a direction to not do it or to continue doing it, whatever the case may be, becomes sin for you. And the longer you keep saying no to God, the harder it is to hear the Holy Spirit take you to it. And I have met people who have been a part of a church for years, and their walk with God has grown cold. And they don't understand it's because 20 years ago God asked them to do something, and he's still asking them to do something, and they're still saying, no, I can't do that. I don't have that gift. I don't have that personality. That's too hard. And because of that, they've got a hardened heart. And they no longer hear God's voice. And they don't understand why that is. I go to church. I'm a church leader. Why don't I hear God's voice? Well, there's many reasons. But one reason could be that God has asked you to do something in the past and you still haven't done it. Or God has asked you not to do something and you're still doing it. And so it's so important. But here's the thing. When you repent, then all of a sudden, you start to hear the voice of God again. When you start doing that thing that God wants you to do, all of a sudden, your relationship becomes restored. And you're hearing God's voice again. And repentance leads to perseverance in this Christian walk. The book of Hebrews tells us that when we run the race of life, we must run with our eyes fixed on Jesus. Because he's the author of our faith and he is the perfecter of our faith. And whenever we find ourselves being tempted again to look to the right, to look to the left, to get off track in our walk, to fall back into sin from the past, and when we turn our eyes then again to Jesus and keep running that race for the prize and we repent of that thing, we find that we get perseverance. Not only can we persevere in our faith because we're not alone in this faith journey, and we realize that repentance will lead to perseverance, we also can persevere because we have an example. Jesus persevered. The very end of this verse in Hebrews, we're given the reason that we can persevere and strongly finish our life of faith. It's because Jesus persevered on the cross. What would cause Jesus to offer up his life in such a painful, humiliating way on that cross? What would allow him to be whipped just horribly on his back and sides? What would allow him to take the hands, the nails in his hands and feet? Why would he allow himself to be humiliated and shamed in such a terrible way? The Bible says it was because of the joy that was awaiting him on the other side of the cross. What joy is found in horrible pain? What joy is found in a brutal death? Well, Philippians gives us an insight into the mindset that Jesus had in his life and his death and his resurrection. We find it in Philippians chapter 2, 5 through 7. It says, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. Jesus was obedient to the Father by becoming a servant and giving up his life to free us from sin and to offer us then that full life that we can have in Christ. He was obedient, and according to Hebrews, he gave it all with joy. Jesus saw the joy that would come from offering us the very power we need to trust in him and live this life that's worthy of the gospel. Aside from his sacrifice, we were hopeless in our sin. There was no way we could even run the race, let alone finish it, without his obedience to death. One of the reasons that people quit on their faith and they don't to persevere is because they didn't expect following Jesus to cost them anything. Kind of responded in an emotional appeal and they thought, you know, this is going to add to my life a lot of things, but they didn't realize there was going to be a cost there as well. Being a Christian often brings with it scrutiny and pressure from the world. There are times when it's just hard and painful, but that is the cross that we're to bear because it's the cross that Jesus chose to bear. And we need to understand that there is a death that we experience in having faith in Christ. It's the death of our old way of life. There are some believers, there are some Christians who try to have both. I'm going to keep who I was, but I'm going to try to accept some of these things that Christ is giving to me. And then they get into this terrible war between their sinful nature and what the Holy Spirit is calling them to. And we're to have this death of that old way. It's the death of who we were, our rights. It's the death of our dreams and our ambitions and our free time and our choices and our resources. It's the idea that this is all mine. It's the death of my sinful nature. It's the death to sin so that we can experience resurrection to walk in this new life in obedience to Jesus. Yet all those things that we give up on the cross, all those things that we thought were so important in our old way of life, they just have no comparison. They're insignificant to all the things that we get in Jesus. The great exchange, freedom from sin, this perfect peace inside of us, this internal joy that nothing can take away, just the presence of the Holy Spirit and His power in our life, our church family, eternal life. There's so many gifts, so many blessings that we get when we release the old and accept the new. And one of the greatest pictures of this death and life is the sacrament of baptism. Baptism, it's a symbol in that it represents, as we go under the water, of dying to who we were, and then when we come back up, new life in Jesus. Who are now in Christ, this new person, a brand new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. But baptism is more than just a symbol, more than just a picture, an allegory. It's also a sacrament. The water is blessed. The Holy Spirit does something very powerful as a person is baptized. I mean, as a pastor, I have felt electricity go out of my body and into another person as I put them under the water and brought them back up. I have seen a quiet, reserved person go under the water, come back up shouting and raising their hands in joy for what they've experienced as the Holy Spirit zaps them with power. There's just something powerful that happens and something sacred that happens in the obedience of being baptized. In the Methodist tradition, we believe that you only baptize a person one time. But you can remember your baptism as often as you'd like. And so I want to encourage you, if you take out your connection card there in your sermon notes, just turn that over for a moment to the back side. And by the way, that connection card, I know some people are like, oh, we do this every week, connection card, and you just get annoyed with it. But I want you to understand, if you want to bless your pastor, if you will mark next steps that apply to you, that is such a blessing to me, because number one, it lets me know that the sermon spoke to you and the Holy Spirit is asking you to take some next steps, and also allows me to pray for you a lot more effectively, because I know what God is working in your life and how to direct those prayers. But on that connection card, the fourth step, if you have never been baptized, you weren't baptized as a baby, it never happened while you were growing up, and you maybe have been a Christian for many years, but you've just never been baptized, I hope that you would mark that fourth next step. And I will contact you, we'll have a conversation about it, we'll talk about the next time we have a baptism service. Baptism is so important in our walk with God. Once you've given your life to Jesus, the very next step of obedience is baptism. Well, one of the biggest reasons believers in Jesus struggle in their faith is because they've never taken that important step of obedience. They weren't baptized as a baby. They just never happened to, maybe they were in a church that didn't talk about baptism as much, and it just never happened in their life. You know, they gave their life to Jesus, but then, you know, maybe it never came up. And then once they finally heard about it, and like, I've been a believer for many years, and I've been a leader in the church, and I just didn't realize I'm supposed to be baptized. Now I feel awkward. Doing it now would just be weird. And so you don't get baptized. And I hope that's not the case for anyone. But if that is, let me have a conversation with you. It would be a joy to have a baptism service for anyone who needs to take that next step. Just a couple of verses to kind of share with you what Scripture says about baptism. Acts 2, verse 38. This is Pentecost, and Peter's preaching to the great crowd there, and Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." You may think, okay, that's Peter. Well, what did Jesus say about baptism? All right, John chapter 3, verse 5, it says, "Jesus answered, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water,'" baptism, "'and the Spirit,'" the Holy Spirit, "'he cannot enter the kingdom of God.'" And then Mark chapter 6, verse 16, Jesus says, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." So baptism is tied to repentance. Baptism does not save us. Only our faith in Jesus Christ saves us. But baptism is the next step of obedience. It's part of the mystery of being filled and empowered by the Holy Spirit. And when we remember our baptism, we're reminded that this is a daily choice to walk in the new life that is being offered to us in Christ's resurrection. And so if you haven't been baptized, I hope that you would mark that next step. And I'll give you a call and we'll have a conversation about it. Each and every day, we are presented with the chance to commit ourselves to the pursuit of Jesus, to die to those old desires and come alive to a new way of living. And so I want you just to reflect for a minute. Just take a moment and think about your life. How are you doing in your Christian walk? Would you say that you're persevering? Or would you say, you know, I think I might have given up. I'm not connecting with God. I haven't read the Bible in a while. I'm not even hardly praying. Now's a great time to get that right. You can repent, throw off that heavy weight of sin. Jesus died so we can be free to finish the race of life well. And so Peter says, add to your faith in God goodness, and add to goodness knowledge, and add to knowledge self-control, and then add to self-control perseverance. It's not a secret. These are some of the ingredients for a well-lived life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we just pause before you, may we all just take an inventory. Be brave enough to ask the Holy Spirit, how am I doing? Is there something I need to confess? Is there something I need to repent of? Turn and walk a different direction. Holy Spirit, is there something between me and God that's hindering my walk, that's hindering my faith? Is there something maybe you're asking me to stop, and maybe there's nothing wrong with it? But for you, it's sin because you know God's asking you to stop. And you're saying, no, I have that in my life for a reason. I like that. But God has something better. I promise you, it'll be better. Maybe God's asking you to do something, and you have been dragging your feet, kicking and screaming. All the times I've wrestled with God, only on the other side to wonder, why did I fight it so hard? Oh, Holy Spirit, would you just be opening our ears? Help us to have soft enough hearts to hear it. Even if it's 1,000 times, maybe this is the time when we finally deal with it. If there's something, that picture that came in your mind, just a nudge from the Spirit, would you just confess that right now, just while you're sitting? Just release it. God, would you forgive me? Give me the strength to change, to walk your way instead of the world's way. Oh, Holy Spirit, I pray a fresh wind of freedom for our church family. Freedom from sin. Freedom from fear that keeps us walking in faith. May perseverance be an ingredient that each of us has in our walk with you, Jesus. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.